Aren't you glad you're joining us, Rod? Aren't you glad?
I could have been asleep for this.
This could have been an email. All right.
Because it could save your life.
Yeah, what is up, all my Lithbicizer, Sugar Bears, Screaming Corn Babies, and listeners? It is Listen to the Show Because It Could Save Your Life with Jonathan and James, and for the first time ever, Rod Babcock, everybody.
Yes.
Getting up early to join us today.
I'm excited. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks to...
I thank you and my mother thanks you.
Our Patreons. Since last week, we have gained one new patron.
Yes! But,
holy crap! That far exceeds our expectations.
We're gaining instead of losing, and that is an improvement.
Exceeding
over
our expectations.
Yeah, that is doing pretty well. If you want to become...
Stop the bleeding.
A Patreon. Yes, that's what we're doing. We're just trying to coagulate right now. We're not trying to smooth it over. We're not going in and getting the scar removed with some plastic surgery. We're just coagulating.
If you don't want to go to the doctor and get stitches, suit yourself.
You know what? Fuck you. Get off the Zoom. Get off. You're not allowed here anymore. If you want to become a patron, all you have to do is go to weirdshow.com, find a link to our Patreon page right there. $5 a month, and you'll get special shows that we've already been recording. Starting, today's Thursday. Actually, starting Monday this week, you will be hearing, if you're a Patreon member, you'll be hearing new shows every single day, only on patreon.com. If you don't care about listening to new stuff from us, that's fine. If you just want to support the show, that's great too. Just go there. $5 a month. That's it. You're not gonna miss it. You're not gonna need it. It's right there for you.
Nah, it's nothing. It's nothing.
Coming up on the show today, we are gonna do facts. Obviously, we're gonna have a cameo from Buddy the Elf, but it's not Will Ferrell's Buddy the Elf. It's bad. I have facts about the most controversial porno mag of all time. Specific like month that it like the porno mag and month that it came out, why it was the most controversial. Two reasons, and they're really good. A guy who just owns a lot of Bob Dylan crap, like just he might as well. I honestly would be shocked if he wasn't in possession of a couple of turds, and I'm not talking about Bob Dylan's music from 1975 until now.
Okay.
And also a fact about why hungry men like fat women.
Oh,
those are my facts. What do you guys got in the barrel?
I have a story of a particularly badass doctor in Kentucky.
Okay.
I have a story of the Missouri town that claims to be the home of sliced bread.
Okay.
So they're pretty great.
It's a fucking dumb thing to be proud of, but fine.
I always want to know what the greatest thing was before sliced bread.
Betty White. Before and after.
Yeah. And
true.
Why baseball can be deadly.
Ooh. People who have died playing baseball?
Yeah.
You mean from drinking?
Yeah.
Rod, what do you got going on?
I kind of need to poop.
Okay.
I got a
you know what's
thing
funny
about-
is I think you texted us before the show saying you had to poop and then you would join us.
Yeah, but I didn't make it there. I got a thing about a criminal from the 1840s that we still talk about today.
Okay.
And polar bear and Coke and Pepsi.
Those all seem related. I don't know why.
Yeah. I know, it's weird.
A criminal polar bear from the 1840s that drank.
That appears in Christmas
Coke and Pepsi. Yeah. It's actually a story about Russia. All that happens in Russia.
That makes sense. All right. That is what's coming up on the show right now. It's time for a cameo review.
Cameo.
Review it.
The cameo review today is a guy who goes by Buddy the Elf. He's not Will Ferrell from the movie Elf. He's just Buddy the Elf. Order a Christmas scram from Buddy the Elf. I was Buddy for Warner Brothers' 15th anniversary of the release of Elf with Will Ferrell. I don't know what he means by that, because Will Ferrell was obviously Buddy the Elf. So, like, what does that mean? Like, Will Ferrell was like, I'm busy. I don't want to be involved in one of my most successful movies of all time. Get some dude who kind of looks like me to do it. And I guess they did. This is only $45, so you might think this is worth the money. But it's not. I'm going to play you a clip of this, but I realized while I was playing the clip earlier, a lot of this is lost because you can't see his face. He makes, like, the most chimpanzee baring its teeth in rage kind of face, but he's supposed to be smiling, like he's supposed to be happy, and he just looks mad. So it's a very mixed message he's sending. But here's Buddy the Elf.
Oh, hi, Jameson. It's me, Buddy. Buddy the Elf. What's your favorite color?
Okay, I immediately hate this. Like, when Will Ferrell does this, it's adorable because it's like, oh, you know, it's because you know who Will Ferrell is, maybe. You know, there's like a childlike spark in him that's just fun. The juvenile nature of his whole thing is fun. When this guy does it, it just comes off as creepy. Am I wrong? That voice like this? Okay. And again,
yeah,
you have
he sounds a little pedo bear.
Yes. And you have to realize the whole time he's smiling like, like an angry dog.
Oh, mine's green.
Oh my God, it's terrifying.
It's always nice to meet other humans who share my affinity for elf culture.
Okay, again, dude, back off. Like, a little bit. Just down a notch.
Oh, that makes me smile. Smiling's my favorite. Oh.
It's like he's just going through the motions of saying the lines from the movie.
Yeah.
Smiling's
my favorite. I don't really have the confidence to commit to this role, but I'm dressed up as the goddamn character from the movie, but I don't have it within me to embrace the character itself. Like, I'm still trying to be myself.
He kind of starts all really hyped and then he kind of
just kind of drifts away. Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, so I'm so excited for Christmas. I bet you are too. Oh, I love your Christmas.
A little bit like Chicken Lady from Saturday.
Yeah, I just heard that. Yeah.
I bet you like elves, don't you? I like elves too. Oh, of course, I'd like to put an elf on my shelf.
Christmas spirit. So I'm sending you this Christmas gram, wishing you the best Christmas ever.
Okay.
I'm here at Santa's house. We're getting all the toys ready for Christmas. Yay.
Okay, again, he did the smiling thing.
This guy's freaking me out a little.
Here's for Christmas. Like, when you talk through your gritted teeth, that's not a pleasant signal to send to children.
You know, I would walk through the seven levels of the candy cane forest and all the way around the sea of swirly, twirly gumdrops just to deliver
this
Christmas gram to you in
person. That's from the movie. Yep, that's from the movie. Good job.
But we're so busy here at the North Pole. I can't leave until after Christmas. And after Christmas, I'm going camping in the Candy Cane Forest.
Okay, I'm done. I can't take any more of this. $45 for that, and it's absolutely not worth it. If you get this for your children, it's child abuse. It should be qualified as child abuse. Because this is how I imagine a kid that's like obsessed with the movie Elf and loves it and watches it all the time with his family, loves it, watches it during the summer months, doesn't care. It has to be on all the time. You know how kids get obsessed with a movie? And then you get this for him and tell him it's Buddy the Elf, and he's going to look at it and look at you with that incredulous look that children can just land on you, where it's like, this is bullshit. Yeah, yeah. You think you tricked me, old man?
Oh, okay. You think I'm stupid?
You think this is a
game?
This
is how you wanted me to find out Santa's not real. Okay, got it. Yeah, great. Super. Thanks for easing the blow.
Yeah.
I keep expecting that elf character to go, why don't you get in my van?
Speaking of Candy Cane Forest, I have one in my van. And then you can smell this rag and tell me if it smells like sweetly, sickly gumdrop chloroform. And you can go down to my magic puzzle basement where we get naked and throw paint parties. Okay. That was terrible. $45 for that is way too much. I'm not paying it. Real quick, before we end the cameo reviews, I do want to say shout out to Tiny Lister. Zeus Tiny Lister unfortunately did pass away. He was a cameo review that we did a few months, or a month and a half ago, I would say it was. One of my favorites. And I regret, because we joked about that during the show about getting that one. Like, that was one of the few that I would actually lay money down to get, and I regret not doing it.
Threaten somebody was the plan.
Yeah, because he was... Because, Rod, you need to... You know what? Let's go back for anybody who messed it, including Rod, because he was great. Like, he would threaten the life of somebody. He's not on here anymore.
He's doing Debo.
Tommy Tiny Lister. Oh, wait, there he is. Okay, hold on.
Hey, Rob, what's up, man? Yeah, I heard you got a great friend that loves watching Friday. Rhode Island College, huh, in Memphis.
Oh, God, now that I watch this, it's really depressing, because I think when we saw this, we were like, he seems sick or something. I don't know what's wrong with him.
Well,
yeah.
Turns out.
Hey, buddy, what's up, fool? Heard you live in Oklahoma now, man. Talking about how cool and when you was in the Upland area. Hey, Chomp, shut up, man. You don't live nowhere tough.
All right, so I don't have the one that we played on the original show. You have to go back and find it. It's listed in the podcast title, so you can find it. But the one that we played, he's like roasting somebody, and her name was, I don't remember what it was, but she apparently her friends called her Debo because she steals things. I guess, I don't know. And he like starts threatening her, and like. He's like, I'll come into your house and I'll kill you and your family. And then he like stops for a second. And he goes, you know, you better get right with Jesus. Jesus is king. Jesus is Lord. But sleep with one eye open. It's like he realizes like this is getting a little too heavy. I need to like, you know, make sure that people know this is a joke. Jesus.
Allow me to refer you to one of my favorite scriptures.
Yeah. And then he starts talking about Jesus and then immediately goes back to threatening her life. And it's great. It's a great beat. It's on an older show. But anyway, so rest in peace. One of the few cameos that we've done on the show that I actually would have bought. I really regret.
Missed the opportunity.
Having not done that. Hey, everybody. Before we get to facts, I just want to tell you about my good buddy Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. I actually recently heard from somebody who used Cody. They are a listener to the podcast. Their name is Elizabeth, and they live in Illinois, and they needed to buy a bunch of iPads. They needed the iPads like within a certain time frame. Everybody they contacted said, no, we can't do it in that time. She said, you know, I listened to this amazing 5-star podcast called Radio Free Weir with Rod and sometimes James. And they're always talking about this guy, Cody Akins. Let me try him. She calls Cody, tells him her problem, and he goes, when do you need him? And she's like, well, we need him by December 18th. And he went, I'll get him to you by December 18th. Here's what he did. He got the iPads, but realized he couldn't get them to her by mail quick enough to meet the deadline. She was in Illinois. He's in Harrisonville, Missouri. Cody woke up at the butt crack of dawn and drove all the way from Harrisonville, Missouri to Illinois with those iPads and hand delivered them to her and then drove back. That is amazing customer service. You are definitely not getting from Best Buy or Amazon or Target, any of them. They're not. Look, Jeff Bezos isn't coming to your house to deliver anything. Okay. But Cody will. So that's the kind of customer service you're going to get from him. That's the kind of customer service you're going to get from a small business owner that really cares about his customers. And Cody does. So if you need a new laptop or an iPad or an iPhone or you have those things and they're just not working very well. Maybe the screen's cracked. Maybe they're just running a bit sluggish. Go to my buddy Cody. He'll fix them for you, and he'll fix them personally. He's the one who fixes them. You go to Best Buy, it's just some 18-year-old pizza face geek going, I get to get this to you by next Wednesday. Cody will have it fixed. He'll have it fixed right, and he'll have it fixed soon. So go to Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. That's Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. All right, it is time for facts.
Facts.
Facts are facts.
How interesting.
Dun, 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 dun. My first fact is this. You ever wonder why a lot of times you see a skinny guy with a very large woman? Like, you just see the weight disparity. Like, and I'm not talking about on sitcoms where you see the opposite. On sitcoms, you see a lot of Rod and his wife situations where it's a very attractive, well put together, fit woman.
Married to Jim Belushi.
Married to an absolute, a trash pile of a human. And not that you're that. I'm not saying that.
No, totally. Totally. Yeah. My wife and I, if you describe us to someone, the picture you give them is a lot of Fred and Wilma.
Yeah. Yeah. The red hair and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Attractive redhead, well put together and well mannered. And then the fat screaming guy that just wants to sit down and be left alone. And
yeah. I mean, you never wonder about that in that situation. You always go, well, he obviously has tricked her into marrying him because he's got a deal with Rumpelstiltskin. That's how it works. Yep. Well, for it's very interesting, but there was a study done that found that men who are skinny and hungry are more attracted to women who are overweight.
Now, are they using the term hungry as
Yeah, they're saying hungry, not thirsty. They're not saying thirsty. They're saying hungry. Although it's not clear exactly how hunger exerts an influence on attraction, past research suggests social, cultural, and psychological factors are involved. In some societies where food is a limited resource, such as the South Pacific, higher body weights are revered. In others where food is abundant, such as the West, lower female body weights are preferred. So that explains like the heroin chic look of the 90s. And I feel like that's coming back a little bit. Yeah, unfortunately, it's not. I'm not a fan of it at all.
I'll take a pog any day.
Yes. And, you know, you want something that pushes back.
Just saying. Like squishy.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to be with somebody who's brittle. I mean, also, you don't want to be with somebody who makes you feel bad about the fact that you're overweight all the time or not in great shape all the time.
I have to admit, I wonder about some of these the countries where you say food is scarce and people are attracted to heavier women. Is it because, like, if something happens, I might have to kill her and eat her?
No.
I want her to have a lot of meat on her bones?
I think it's like, oh, her family has food.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Oh, she comes from food, does she?
She's tasted meat.
Well, I got some meat for her. And I'm talking about this very skinny penis that I have.
So, I like a pound for ounce.
I think that this makes sense. And again, there's too much fat shaming in this world. I think there's way too much emphasis on brittle little skinny girls. I mean, if that's what you're into, that's fine. I did. And Rod and I both knew somebody who had an affinity for petite girls. And our theory on that, which I think was accurate, is that person had a very small penis.
Well, yeah. He also seemed to like girls with tiny hands for some reason.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah, that was the thing. Like, if she's got like little tweezer fingers, then I'm into that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this too, though. There's some songs about large ladies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just can you name any off the top of your head?
Fat bottom girls.
Fat bottom girls. Yep. Big bottoms.
Yeah.
Right.
By the time.
Baby Got Back.
Baby Got Back is the one exception. All the songs I can think of about girls that are large are sung by skinny dudes. My favorite is actually a song. It's a very little known song, but I played it on my college radio station. It's a jam. It's called Big Girl, You Are Beautiful. It's by a guy named Mika. Just take a listen to this.
Walks into the room, feels like a big balloon. I said, hey girls, you are beautiful. Diet Coke and a pizza, please. Diet Coke, I'm on my knees screaming.
course, in the video, the girls that are supposed to be big are slightly overweight. Like, maybe they don't have curves. They have one curve a little bit. Yeah. Maybe like one hip is a little bit. Anyway, I love that song when I was on my college station because it would get stuck in my head. And then I would be singing it around my wife.
Oh.
And I couldn't help it. I couldn't. I would be like, big girl, you are Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing. You are nothing. Big girl, you are nothing to me. Because you are my wife.
There's a Morrissey song called You're the One for Me, Fatty.
Yes, I forgot about that. Because I've forgotten about all Morrissey songs. Yeah, on purpose.
Tried anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, the Beastie Boys sing about that in Hey Ladies. Mm. And he's talking about the big girl. And he's like, with the weight, and the weight to... what is it? Something about with the weight ratio. I like a pound per ounce.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. All right. James, what is your first fact?
My first fact is about a doctor in Kentucky. A particularly badass doctor in Kentucky. She was in the hospital about to be induced into labor.
Wait, you said it was a doctor. Why do you say she? What's going on?
That's not as funny as it was when we were in high school, John.
It's a little funny.
Oh, because the doctor is his mother.
Mother!
Damn it!
Oh, okay. Anyway.
So, this is back in 2017, I believe. Actually, a friend of mine on Facebook had posted this kind of apropos of nothing. But Amanda Hess, an obstetrician-gynecologist from Frankfurt, checked into the Frankfurt Regional Medical Center as a patient last week. Donned a hospital gown and was moments away from being induced into labor when she heard a woman in another room wailing in pain.
Oh, God. I hate
woman
that.
Was Leah Halliday Johnson, I'm a pregnant mother who happened to be one of Hess's patients.
Everybody pay attention to me.
Oh, it was one of her patients. Okay.
Just the week before, she had seen Hess during her final prenatal appointment. Nurses told Hess that Halliday Johnson's baby was coming far faster than expected, and the umbilical cord was wrapped loosely around the child's neck, which I had that when I was born. They had to pull me out with forceps, and I had a big hematoma on my head.
Oh, my gosh.
So I've been trying to kill myself from the womb.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and they were shocked because it came out.
I tried to hang myself with the umbilical cord.
It was like, a perfect noose. It was crazy.
It strangely makes sense.
The on-call doctor had left the hospital for a break, and they needed immediate help. That's when Hess jumped in. I just put on another gown to cover up my backside and put on some boots over my shoes to keep from getting any fluids and all that stuff on me and went down to her room. I'd actually taken a call the day before, so I thought really that I was working up to the last minute. But this was literally till the last second.
So she's, wow, laying,
so she's laying there about to give birth.
I'm
and
here
she...
in a gown.
Okay.
But I think we ought to have the baby, she said.
Oh, wow.
Nurses had been urging Halliday Johnson not to push, but the pain was getting worse, she told People on Sunday. I was not being quiet about the fact that it was difficult for me to not push. Yeah. When Hess came in, Halliday Johnson didn't realize the doctor was about to enter labor herself.
Wow.
She was definitely in doctor mode. My husband noticed something was going on because she had a hospital gown on, but I didn't notice it because I was on the delivery table. I was in my own world there. Halliday Johnson gave birth to a baby girl, according to NBC. She was just glad to be able to push and have the baby out and not have to wait any longer. Mm. Shortly after the on-call doctor arrived and took over on Halliday Johnson's room was done, Hess went back down the hall. Later that night, she too gave birth to a baby girl.
Aww. Well, that's just...
So.
Woo!
That's very sweet.
Interesting.
You know, I've wondered this before.
That's pretty baller.
My wife has had... Well, no, I can't. No, never mind. Her second gynecologist for Finn was a female, but her first doctor was a male. I saw like a statistic. It's 60-40. Gynecologists are still mostly men, and the ones that deliver the baby still mostly men. And I don't know how that is possible. I just don't understand that at all. I'm not saying that they'd be worse at it. I'm just saying they wouldn't be as good. I'm not saying that they'd be terrible at it. Though I will say that when Henry was born and Katie was in labor and they were like yelling at her not to push because it was too early and the doctor wasn't there yet, and the doctor showed up with a McDonald's cup, I nearly punched him in the face.
Sorry, I'm late.
What, yes. This?
McDonald's line was slow.
Oh, you know how it is.
This is from earlier. Yeah.
I was in line at McDonald's at 10 o'clock at night when you guys called me.
Oh, don't act like you've never been at a McDonald's at 10, 11, midnight.
I don't think there's any time of day that I haven't been at a McDonald's.
At a McDonald's.
I really 100% don't think that there's been a time when I haven't been there. Anyway, so yeah, that's interesting though.
I don't know. Okay, so think about this. You have woke up one morning and there's like a purple lump on the side of your penis and you're like, I gotta go see a doctor. Do you want to see a woman doctor or a man doctor and throw your stuff on the table and go, does this look infected to you?
Okay, so if I've got a purple
lump
gargoyle hanging off of the side of my penis,
yeah.
I don't care who the doctor is.
At that point, okay, granted, at that point, yeah. The sex of the doctor is not important at all. Like, fix my junk!
Like, okay, so say I have a skin tag on my scrotum or something like that. Something right. Benign.
Right.
Do I want a male doctor or female doctor? I want a male doctor looking at that.
Okay.
Yeah. You want a female doctor looking at that?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. No, unfortunately, I don't ever want any woman to ever look at my penis.
Ever.
Ever.
Well, no. I mean, except for if they need a laugh, like, you know, their child just died or something like that. And you're like, okay, well, I got something. Yeah, I got something. I know it's a funeral, but I got something here to cheer this you up.
You guys are going to love this. Just bear with me.
Eric Greitens could make ladies stop crying. He was sure of that.
That's true. James and the Eric Greitens.
Don't cry. Look.
Just when you think the Eric Greitens well is tapped out, like, you know, 2 years ago.
Nope.
James goes back to it, still just cranking that bucket up. Rod, what's your first fact?
I'm still mad I didn't see him.
Rod, what's your first fact?
So in the 1840s in New York, there was a con man whose name was Alex Hoag. And Alex Hoag and his wife, who was what was her name? Melinda. Anyways, he went by.
That means bad Linda.
Yeah. Belinda. Sure.
Belinda.
So
bad Linda.
They had this con going where she would be a prostitute and she would take the guy to the room. And then it had like a fake wall in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And she would basically help him doze off. The person. And then once that person dozed off, Alec would slide the little fake wall and he would come in and rob the guy blind.
Wow.
And this was going on for a while. Now in the 1840s, there were, strangely, there was a lot of police officers on the take,
what?
In New York. Yeah. It's weird. I've never heard that before.
I saw gangs in New York. It didn't seem likely.
It didn't, did it? Mm. So, anyways, he, Alec Hoag, decided that he was tired of paying the cops off, and so he stopped. And he was kind of hiding out from them for a long time, and they were looking for him, and they were mad at him, and they're like, you got to, you know, like shaking other people down, tell us where he is. And he kept changing, like, where he was doing stuff and kind of how he was doing it, and he got away from them for a long time. Strangely, he was found dead, and basically... the thought is that the police caught up with him because after that, they began to tell people, hey, you pay. Don't be like old smart Alec over here who thought he was too good to pay us.
Wait, seriously?
Or we will kill you.
Is this where the phrase smart Alec comes from?
Absolutely, 100%.
What?
That is why we say smart
Alec. Don't be a smart Alec. Pay the cops their vig.
Yep.
That's, I don't know if that's where the term phrase, but I don't care. From. Wow.
Oh, that's like interest.
I know. Whatever.
But yeah.
Well, they're interested in getting their money.
That is where the term comes from Alex Hoag, who thought he was too smart to have to pay the cops. And the cops finally caught up with him and he became a warning to other criminals.
To pay now, the cops.
Smart Alex is a dumbass, and like an annoying person, you know?
Yeah,
don't
yeah,
be
yeah,
a smart
yeah.
Alec. Go away.
Well, they meant the same. It was back then. That's what they meant, too. It wasn't like he was a genius for not paying us. But we had to kill him anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that's where the term comes from.
All right. My second fact is this. Think about the thing that you care about the most in the world. Whatever you care about the most.
My penis.
Okay, fine. James, is it Rod's penis?
Also Rod's penis.
I was going to say pornography.
Pornography in general. It still pales in comparison to how this guy feels about Bob Dylan. This guy...
What about Bob Dylan based pornography?
Oh.
Ew. Touch us some more.
Didn't you?
Yeah, no, don't touch me. I'm almost done. Ew.
Just like a woman, but she breaks. She's like a little girl. Wait, that's disgusting.
Oh,
that's disgusting.
Shame on whoever
said
that.
It was pretty funny, though.
I don't know who it was. Bob Dylan came in, grabbed my mic, said it, and then ran out of the room, making his own jokes at his own expense. Anyway, a collector owns both of Bob Dylan's childhood homes. This guy collects every Bob Dylan thing he possibly can get his hands on, including the houses in Minnesota that Bob Dylan grew up in. His name is Bill Pagel. He has more than 15,000 photos, 4,000 concert posters, and 18 four-drawer file cabinets filled with manuscripts and ephemera. When asked about Bob Dylan's music, he said, I don't know. I don't try to see if there's any hidden meaning. I just kind of like the music. So it's really not even about the music. The guy just decided he lives in Minnesota. Bob Dylan's one of the most famous Minnesotans outside of Prince. He just bought a bunch of Bob Dylan stuff, including his home and his high chair.
What?
Which is not the same high chair that Chuck Berry sat in and demanded his breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby,
it's the most important meal of the day.
It really is. Yes. If you don't understand that joke, then you need to look it up. Google Chuck Berry, baby needs his breakfast, and thank me later.
Maybe don't.
You need to look it up. And post your results to the Weird Show listener page on Facebook.
Maybe don't.
I was thinking about this. Nothing, and I mean nothing, matters to me as much as Bob Dylan matters to this guy. And I kind of envy him. I kind of envy him a little bit because I don't care about anything. This guy spent $320,000 on Bob Dylan's childhood home. Not a home that he sat in and like wrote Blowing in the Wind or Blood on the Tracks or anything like that. No. Just the home he grew up in. Yeah.
Not even a home he did blow in.
On a sweeter note, did you guys hear about Johnny Bench recently?
What did Johnny Bench do?
So he, I guess, is not as well off as he would hope to be. One of his kids is about to go to college, so he decided he was going to auction off a bunch of memorabilia. So, like, it was like the bat he hit his last home run with, some jersey that he wore, like a bunch of like famous shit from
baseball memorabilia.
Him being Johnny Bench. Wound up being $1 million on the sale. So,
nice.
Ideally,
wow,
his kid can go through to college.
He could definitely go to one of those public schools.
Turns out it was a friend of his that bought all this stuff and immediately gave it all back to him.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. That's so sweet.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
Or is the guy a prick and now for the rest of his life to go, yeah, well, who gave you back all your memorabilia, dude? You know what?
Well,
I need you to pick me up at 6. And I need you to have fucking breakfast in the
Johnny
car.
Johnny Bench
okay?
is pretty old, so it's only like 5 more years that he has to deal with that.
Yeah, that's true. You know. That's true.
That's very sweet, though. But Rod does have a good point, though. Like, if the guy could have done that, why couldn't he have just given Johnny Bench the money? Why did he have to play this game?
He probably didn't ask.
Because he's got to be, you know.
By the way, that friend, Pete Rose. He's like, hold on, Johnny, I got the money. I just got to go to Vegas. Seriously.
Oh,
I got a couple bets to lay and everything's going to be fine.
It's a sure one. It's a sure one.
Bullshit thing of all the sports is that Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame. Nobody treats their Hall of Fame like baseball does. Football will let Ray Lewis in. That's fine. He murdered a guy. That's fine. But yeah, baseball,
I mean, it wasn't on the field.
No, baseball, you take some performance enhancing drugs and make people fall in love with the sport again. You gamble on things that aren't not your own team, but you gamble at all. No, not allowed in. Not allowed in. No. It's absolute bullshit. One of the greatest players of all time, not allowed in the Hall of Fame because he gambled. Meanwhile, basketball, Michael Jordan was losing money like a sieve when he was at the height of his career to gambling, and they're just like, yeah, and?
And basketball is a game where one player can completely change the outcome of a game.
Yeah.
Like, one player can go in and shave points and all that stuff. It's more difficult for one player to affect a baseball game.
Yeah, you're right. That Michael Jordan's gambling, he could have, I mean, if he wasn't Michael Jordan, if he
right.
was.
Right, easily.
Yeah.
Totally change the outcome of a game.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, here again, like you said, baseball or basketball, you have no idea what's going on with those guys half the time. But yet, baseball, we're in friggin' Congress and stuff discussing whether or not somebody took steroids. Who gives a shit?
It's because it's our national pastime. Yeah.
F you.
You know what our national pastime is? Winning illegitimately. That's our national pastime. That's part of it.
That's why Michael Jordan was losing to gambling while he was playing, because he was trying to lose games, but he just couldn't.
He just couldn't.
I'm trying to throw the ball. God damn it.
Yeah. He's like throwing it behind. Yeah, you know that McDonald's commercial, nothing but net? He was trying to miss. He couldn't. Just couldn't miss. All right, James, what's your second?
I stuck my tongue out thinking that it would help.
People are like, he's not taking it seriously. Look at him. James, what is your second fact?
Second fact here is about Chillicothe, Missouri.
Okay, I know it.
I know that place.
Yep.
It's currently famous for having a women's prison.
That's why I know it.
I got some pen pals.
Oh, you would be surprised. You would be surprised when we were at KMBZ how many love letters we got from prisoners. It happened a lot.
Once a month or so, drive out to Chillicothe, just cruise the bus stations. You'll find some desperate women ready to get a ride.
But yeah, Rod, remember that? We would get love letters from prisoners all the time.
Always men, though.
And there was another show on the station, not my show, not the afternoon show, but another show, that got a love letter from a prisoner, and it was like their only complimentary like fan letter they ever got. And so they had it posted on their wall. And every time I saw it, I was like, yeah, I have the same letter from the same dude. Like, guys. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Chillicothe, Missouri.
Chillicothe. Somebody uncovered Catherine Stortz Ripley, news editor of the Constitution Tribune, rediscovered an article while doing research for a history book, which the newspaper published in 2001. Original article was published on the front page, July 6, 1928. The headline: sliced bread is made here. Chillicothe Bread Company, the first bakers in the world to sell this product to the public.
Huh.
Okay. I couldn't believe something with such great importance had been forgotten, this lady says.
Like, if you, that's your town's claim to fame, and you didn't put it on the sign?
Apparently, if you roll into Chillicothe, there's a sign that says it is the home of sliced bread.
Yeah, damn well should be right up there on the water tower next
to the home of sliced bread.
I don't know, Steve Johnson's name, because, you know, he was the quarterback that won the game that time or whatever the hell.
Al Bundy scored 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe something of such great importance had been forgotten, Ripley said. You would think that the town would have capitalized on the fact that sliced bread was first invented here.
You know, it's funny. We always say the greatest thing since sliced bread, but is sliced bread that great? Like, personally, I would like to be able to choose how big my bread slices are. Give me that option,
Wonder. It's a convenience issue.
So it saves me a little bit of time. How much time did you need to save back then? When you had an important TV show you needed to watch?
I have to admit, your
podcast
basic,
you needed to listen to.
Yeah.
Your
a
basic
Patreon you needed to donate to.
Damn right. All right.
Mm.
Rod?
No, I have to say your basic sliced, Aldi kind of generic bread. You get a good stoner PB&J going, it falls apart, man.
Right.
You can't. You can't pile that shit up.
Not worth it. Not worth it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why you got to have like three of them.
All right. So Chillicothe. Okay. You got
front
that going
page
for you.
Article. Okay. Front page article appeared in today's Kansas City Star as a result reporter looking in the history book. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see.
Oh, please tell me there's another town that goes, bullshit, we invented it. God, that would be great. Like in Minnesota or somewhere.
It's the new Civil War. Born and bred in
Missouri.
Water
tower says, and people in Chillicothe are full of shit.
Okay. Yeah. So, apparently, the actual machine that did it was invented somewhere in Iowa.
So they're taking credit for it.
Ah.
Well, no, because they didn't sell it. They had the machine, but they didn't actually bake the bread and slice it.
So it was a mutual thing. All right.
Anyway.
Yep.
Chillicothe.
Chillicothe.
We have this machine that
apparently
got something.
A Shawnee word.
Uh-huh.
Meaning
sliced bread. So it all comes around. It's weird. Passes prologue.
Principal place is what it means, because it wasn't a defined place. It was just whoever was the leader of the tribe at the time,
mm-hmm.
wherever he lived, that was Chillicothe.
Okay.
And if he died and there was a new leader of the tribe, where they lived was Chillicothe.
Have you ever had chili in your coffee? It's really good.
No,
apparently, butter in your coffee is pretty good.
Yeah,
I have a kid that works for me, who's a really really great kid, and he came to work the other day like bouncing off the walls. I'm like, dude, did you discover meth this weekend?
Like it's that hard. Like it's that hard in Harrisonville, Missouri.
No, no. But
did you smoke one of those rocks that's just laying around outside?
But no, he's like, no. But I found out that a Monster Energy drink tastes really good in coffee.
Ah.
And I'm like, dude, stop.
You know, my favorite brand of coffee. My favorite brand of coffee is you pour the coffee in, you put some cream and sugar in, then you dump it out, and you put anything else in the cup.
Yeah, pretty
anything
much.
Else because it doesn't smell like shit, and it doesn't taste
make you shit.
Like yeah, it doesn't taste like liquid shit, and it. Doesn't make you shit. Rod, what's your second fact?
Oh, my second fact is, okay, I knew that there were polar bears, and I knew that there were grizzly bears, but I had no idea that ever the two should meet.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, you talking about the pizzly?
Yes! There are
what
polar and grizzly bear hybrids.
Pizzlies.
Oh. And they are known as a pizzly bear.
They couldn't come up with a better name than that.
Well, it was
could
either
it be
that
a growler
or
bear.
Growler.
That's growler. Much better than pizzly.
I don't know. I kind of like pizzly.
Okay.
Growler bear is also known as a growler bear. That's the less popular term. People prefer the snazzy, jazzy sounding name of pizzly bear.
Oh my God.
What the pizzly bear? I just think that's funny.
Yeah.
I read a story that I was all into, but it turned out not to be true, but it was about a albino grizzly bear that keeps waking up in Alaska because somebody finds him in the woods and they think that he's a polar bear misplaced and they trank him and they take him back to Alaska and then he wakes up and is like, son of a bitch! Do you know how cold it is? It takes him forever to get back to the woods and then sure enough,
they
bam,
shoot him again and put him back.
Yeah, it's happened like seven times. Bear's pissed.
All right. My third fact is this. The most collectible pornographic magazine of all time is also illegal to own. It's not illegal to have in your house if you bought it before you knew. But if you bought it knowing what's in there, then it is illegal.
So you got to be grandfathered in.
You got to be grandfathered in. Back in 1984, in September, there was an issue of Penthouse magazine that is notorious because it had not naked but scantily clad pictures of the reigning Miss America, Vanessa Williams, in it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's funny because I actually I could find those pictures and I saw those pictures and they're not even rated R. They're PG-13 at worst. Yeah. You don't see anything. There's no areola. There's no ass crack or vag. There's nothing. It's nothing. You see more stuff.
There's no areola. I'm not paying for that.
Yeah, yeah. If no areola, no payola. All right. But the reason it's illegal to buy or sell is because it also features an underage porn star at the time named Tracy Lords.
Tracy Lords. I knew it was going to be Tracy Lords.
Tracy Lords, who was a notorious porn star, was very popular in the
80s. Hugely popular.
And then people found out that she was only like 15 years old when she was making these movies.
Yeah. No, she... And I read a thing about her one time, and I was blown. I had no idea when it was going on. I was too young. But, yeah, she had a party, like a huge birthday party, because she was this big star. She was like the Jenna Jameson of the time.
Yeah.
And huge star. And then at her party, they're like, how old are you now? And she's like, I'm 18 today. And everybody went, wait, what? You've been making movies for 3 years.
Yeah.
There's like a pile of movies in there. And it's like, yep.
I remember there was a documentary. I think it was on E! And this was like 20 years ago. And it was like the Tracy Lords story. And they talked to all these old 80s porn stars. And then I think it was Ron Jeremy who was like, no, I think she's a great actress. She sure fooled me. Like, what do you mean she fooled you? Like, oh, she totally fucked like she was 18. Like, what does that even mean? She fooled me into believing that she was 2 years older than she actually was. We would reference things from 1968 and she would be like, I know exactly what that was like because I was 3 years old when that happened. I remember the White Album. But as far as the Vanessa Williams thing, I finally get the context behind the Simpsons clip.
Now it's time to name our runner up who, if the winner doesn't fulfill her duties, blah, 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 wazza. And don't say it'll never happen, because we all remember that thing with what's-her-name, click, click, you know.
That was referencing Vanessa Williams.
No, I remember that, because it was a big deal. She wasn't like the first black Miss America, I don't think, but she was some kind of big deal.
She
might have been.
I'm pretty sure she was.
Maybe she was.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. I know there was a big deal about her winning, and then, like, right after that, they're like, who? No, we don't know who you're talking about. There's no person by that name here.
Well, it's funny because reading the comments on this article, first of all, apparently everybody's dad or grandpa had that edition of Penthouse and everybody had seen it. And everybody was like, it's not that bad. And some people like on Reddit even posted like pictures of just the Vanessa Williams part, because the other part would be child pornography and you can't post that.
Right.
But Dirty Magazine used to be such...
Sam does not like when you do that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Dirty Magazine used to be a community effort, you know? Porn used to be a community effort. There was a store you went to, or they were delivered to your house by the mailman, or your dad had them in the bottom of his closet, and you would go, when your parents went out Christmas shopping, you'd go rooting through the closet and dig out the magazines.
Oh, my dad had the collection in the living room. He didn't give a fuck.
He didn't give a fuck. Yeah, your dad didn't. Yeah. Yeah,
He had like, and apparently like, it's weird because like I think my grandma on my mom's side, like when they got married, got him a subscription to Playboy.
Dude,
I won't swear to that, but I think that's accurate.
No,
I don't doubt that. I have a friend who to this day has a subscription to Playboy magazine, and he always jokes that he actually hardly ever looks at the magazines, but they send him a calendar every year and it's hanging in the kitchen. He's like, I love the calendar.
I mean, it's funny. But we joke about the whole, I read for the articles, but they actually did have good articles in Playboy.
Yeah, they did.
Like in the 60s, they really did have good writers. Like Tom Wolfe wrote for Playboy.
My buddy, when he got married, somebody in her family, that was their wedding gift, was like a lifetime subscription to Playboy magazine.
Mm.
And I always thought that was such a weird wedding gift, but yeah, he's got to stack them in the garage.
The theory was now you're with this one woman, but you can look at these women, look but don't touch, right? So like, you can get like your jollies by looking at other women through Playboy, but you're less likely to cheat if you're looking at porn.
I always thought it was more of a look. At some point, you're not going to want to keep eating those same crackers.
Yeah,
so you can look at these crackers and then like get an appetite for the crackers you have.
By the way, look at these crackers. Worst porno mag ever. Look at these crackers. These cracker bitches. So
there's three kinds of dads when it comes to dirty magazines. Mm-hmm. There's the dads that like hide it in the closet or keep it in the garage and are like, nah, I don't know what you're talking about. There's the dads that leave it on the coffee table and go, I don't fucking care if you look at damn magazine.
Yeah.
And then there's the dads that put their shit out and go, I fucking dare you to touch it.
I think that's kind of where my dad was. He probably didn't care, really, but he wanted to. I never openly looked. And like,
yeah, he's like, oh, they're there. You could probably look at them, but I'm going to know.
And I was convinced that he had some sort of like super intricate sorting system that if I messed it up, he would know.
Yeah, because it's not like alphabetical or chronological. It's like a top 10.
If you had company coming over, would you put out the good Playboys? Get this Hustler and Penthouse shit out of here. No, we need June 1991. Get her out there right now.
Playboy. Yeah. And one of those French magazines like We or something.
Yeah. We?
I think that exists. I don't know.
Is that like a piss mag?
It's not OUI. It's WEE. And yeah. It's not the kind of magazine you want to watch.
I believe it's Wee Wee. Then there was the porn that you'd find in the woods. You'd find your dad would have it in his closet or the garage. And then there was just the stray porn you would find in the woods.
With titles you've never heard of.
Right. Weekly World Nudes. I remember that. I remember finding that. And it's like, is this even porn? Because I can't see. They're spread eagle, but I can't see anything. It's well covered. All right. James, what is your third fact?
Okay. Mine is about a phenomenon that occurs on.
Phenomenon. Sorry.
On baseball fields more often than you might think. It says, America's national pastime may seem a gentle pursuit, but it's not without its fatal hazards. In 2008, the 2008 book Death at the Ballpark, a comprehensive study of game-related fatalities from 1862 to 2007, catalogs deaths that have occurred while people were playing, watching, or officiating baseball games. Among the causes is commotio cordis. A concussion of the heart that leads to ventricle fibrillation when the chest is struck during a critical 10 to 30 millisecond moment between heartbeats.
Jesus.
Oh, my goodness.
About 50% of all victims are athletes. Vast majority of these are male. Engaging in sports that also include ice hockey and lacrosse.
So U.S. national. Wait, hold on. Wait. So you're saying if you get hit in the chest at the exact right second, or not second, but millisecond. You could die? Like, it'll interrupt your heartbeat, basically.
It will cause cardiac arrest.
Wow. Wow.
According to the U.S. National Commotio Cordis Registry, which apparently exists, survival rates have risen recently from 35% between 2000 and 2010, up from 15% the previous decade, due mainly to increased presence of defibrillators at sporting events.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
But
so, like,
if you get hit,
where'd Rod go?
At the exact wrong time.
Where's Rod?
He got really scared about getting hit in the chest with baseball.
I guess.
Just ran away.
Yeah.
This is the fact that could save your life. So, avoid baseballs. And it's not in the clip that I pulled, but I think there was something I read last night when I was digging facts up, and it was like the chest protectors really don't matter that much either. Like,
they don't,
if you get
hit
just
it.
So at that right matter. Or wrong
so is that
time.
Like the Kill Bill 5-point heart exploder thing? Maybe it's that
technique.
Like, maybe there's some truth to that. Yeah.
It's just the nature of baseball. I mean, there's that chance of catching a line drive to the chest.
Yeah.
But, and chest protector, what have you, apparently doesn't make a whole ton of difference.
Didn't make any difference. But then now they have defibrillators.
It hits at that right time.
That's a big thing with doctors, I know, is like defibrillators are never used correctly in TV shows and movies. They're not used that like you're dead and it's to restart your heart. It's because your heart's like out of rhythm and the defibrillator's like, get back in line.
Snap out of it.
Yeah, snap out of it. Wow, huh. That's fascinating. All right, Rod, what is your third fact?
My third fact is in 2006, a woman who was working as a corporate executive secretary, basically, for Coca-Cola, called up Pepsi and said, "Hey, I got the secret formula for Coke right here." And Pepsi went, "Oh, great, we'll take it." Hung up the phone and called Coca-Cola and said, "Hey, you got a secretary trying to sell us the secret recipe."
What?
Immediately.
Wow. How honorable. Good for them.
Basically, what I think is funny is I was reading this article about how she went to in Atlanta, went to the airport to basically make the exchange. And she handed off an Armani like duffel bag with the secret recipe in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave her a yellow Girl Scout cookie box stuffed with 50s and $100 bills. You gave up an Armani bag and yeah. You got a cookie box with $30,000. But yeah, and then they busted her and she went to jail. But I was blown away by the fact that
Pepsi,
you know,
called Coke.
Coke and Pepsi, yeah. You know, Pepsi challenge, all the crap, back and forth. But yeah, as soon as someone legitimately called with the actual recipe, they immediately called Coke and said, "Hey, this is going on."
I mean, it makes sense because if Pepsi all of a sudden started selling Coke, it would raise some red flags, I think.
Yeah, but they wouldn't need to. What I would do if I was Pepsi in that situation is I would create a subsidiary or like a different soda company, market it as just like Coke or whatever. Poke something, whatever. And and then just run Coke out of business. Like just say, look, it's the same as Coke, but it's half off. And then everybody would be buying that. Tastes the same. There you go. But I honestly don't know that would work because I don't think that people are drinking Coca-Cola because of the taste. I think they're drinking Coca-Cola because of the marketing and everything that's involved in that. So if anybody who's eaten generic food as much as I have, for as long as I have, from Aldi, knows that a lot of that stuff is just marketing. It's just hitting the reptile part of your brain that goes, "Oh, pretty colors and lights. That's the reason I want this stuff." And it's funny because we stopped going to Aldi when the pandemic started because it's not very convenient here. Like you have to actually, it's one of the few stores you actually have to go in. And we have an Amazon delivery service for groceries out here. And so we always get our groceries through that. It's a little more expensive. It's actually not that much more expensive, but it's more expensive. All I can think is like, I can't believe my whole life growing up, I was like, "I want name brand food. I hate this generic shit. We're poor. We're gross." And like, it tastes exactly the same. It doesn't taste any different at all.
There are many things that do not taste any different at all. There are some things, you put a box of macaroni and cheese in my house
that isn't
Kraft.
Yeah.
We're fucking fighting.
Yeah.
Like that, no. I don't give a shit. No, it tastes, I don't care. I don't care if it does taste the same. I still want the blue Kraft box.
Mm.
But pretty much anything else, like soda, though, is a big one. Like, go buy some Dr. Thunder and tell me that tastes just like Dr. Pepper.
It tastes exactly the same, but your brain is like, this is a Dr. Pepper.
We
used to go to Publix in Florida and get their generic soda, and the colors were the same, like exactly the same, and that tasted better. It didn't But my brain was like, this tastes good. This is how it's supposed to be. Yeah. All right. That is the show for today. Thank you all so much for listening. You guys rock. Don't forget, if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com, search for We're Show, W-I-E-R Show, or go to WIERShow.com. You can find our Patreon link right there. You get access to our secret Patreon shows that you get just by paying us $5 a month. $5 a month. You're not going to miss it. And we definitely would appreciate it. So go there, weirdshow.com. Give us $5 or you suck. That's all there is to it. You just suck. Okay? How about this? All right.
Take this, bitch.